Sports Radio 94 WIP. That's right. It's a Tom Kelly takeover of the afternoon show over the next 2 days. The afternoon guys, Spike, Ike, Jack, they are out for the week. I'll be in with you today and tomorrow. So a lot to get to as it's All-Star break week. We got the Home Run Derby coming up later tonight. We got the All-Star game tomorrow night. Before the Phillies embark on the second half, we got a lot of stuff to get to. We have a next question for you, as they do on this show. We'll have that coming up a little later on in the segment here. We're doing all the afternoon stuff. I got a Mount Rush 4 for you at 4 o'clock today. We have Top 5 at 5 with Justin D'Orazio coming up later on in the show, but a lot of things to get to throughout the course of the show today. And where we'll start is with the Phillies. The Phillies have hit the halfway point. And as we hit the halfway point in the season, a little past halfway, to be honest with you, the All-Star break is really when you divide it up into the first half and second half. Phillies 55-41, a half game in front of the Mets for first place in the NL East. And today we're going to evaluate this team through the first half and where this team is at, how things have gone. And what I want today from you to start the show is I want the one word that you would use to describe the Phillies' first half of the season so far. What word would you use to describe it and why? 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494. What's the one word you would describe for the Phillies in the first half of the season, the way they played and why? And thinking about it for me, the word I would use would be predictable. Because I think when you look at this season, you look at the way it's gone so far, it's gone pretty much exactly how I thought it would go. My opinion of this team has not changed at all. It's the same as it was a month ago. It's the same as it was on opening day. It's the same as it was at the start of spring training. And honestly, it's the same as it was the minute that they were eliminated by the Mets last year in the playoffs. This team and what has happened so far, the way they played in the first half of the season, is extremely predictable. And that's the word I've come up with for a number of reasons. We knew coming into the season the starting pitching was going to be great. The starting pitching has been great. The starting pitching, if anything, has been better than expected. Christopher Sanchez, even better than last year. Zach Wheeler, we've seen him be the best pitcher in baseball since he got here. It's arguably Zach Wheeler's best year as a Philly. Even with Aaron Nola getting injured, Ranger Suarez has been great. Jesus Luzardo overall has been good. The starting pitching's been great. We knew Kyle Schwarber had hit a bunch of home runs. Kyle Schwarber has hit a bunch of home runs. We knew, or at least I knew, Rob Thompson's a good manager. I think Rob Thompson has been a good manager for this team. But as we look at all those positive things, the same also applies for the other side. Because coming into this year, we knew the bullpen was spotty. Jose Alvarado, unexpected and unfortunate, obviously, that he got suspended. But the bullpen, I didn't think coming in it was very good. The bullpen has not been very good. We knew the defense was average at best. That's pretty much what you've seen. You've seen this defense be okay, but make mistakes that have hurt them at times. And we knew, and they knew after the Mets series, in my opinion, that the offense was not good enough and was getting worse. And what we have seen this year, through the first half of the season, despite how good the starting pitching has been, despite the record that the Phillies have, the offense has not been good enough, and the offense is getting worse. And it's why coming into this season, I think many others weren't as excited as we've been in past years. I mean, you could feel it during spring training. People were happy baseball was back, but there wasn't that same type of anticipation that there's been in past years. And people can chalk it up to the Eagles just won the Super Bowl. I don't believe that. I think if this was a team that people truly believed in, being a World Series contender, truly believed in as being a true contender, one of the best teams in baseball, that excitement would have been there. But it wasn't. And I think coming into this year, and so far from what we've seen in the first half of the season, I wanted the Phillies to change my mind. I wanted to get to this point in the year and feel like, you know what, I did underrate this team. I was a little down on this team, disrespectful to this team during the offseason and spring training. But I don't feel that at all. I feel the exact same way that I felt before the season started. This is a good team. This is a playoff team. But this is not a true contender. And it's how I felt the whole time. It's how I still feel now. And the first half of the season to me has been extremely predictable. It's gone exactly the way I thought it would go, where you're going to have great starting pitching, but the offense is going to struggle. The offense is going to be up and down. You're going to have a good record. They're first place in the NL East. I thought they'd win the division. I still think they will win the division. But is my mind changed in terms of this team being a true World Series contender? It hasn't. They're a playoff team. I don't think they're a title team. And I want to know how you feel. What's the word that you would use to describe the Phillies in the first half? 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494. That's how you join the show. I'll ask Justin DeRozio, who's producing the show today. Happy All-Star Week, Justin. You look thrilled to be in today, as always. You always have like a little bit of a grumpy look on your face, though.
That's just my natural face. Yeah, I was sitting here thinking of a word.
And this is bad if I'm telling you this. You got to be a little more smiley, man.
What do you mean? Am I not being smiley enough for you?
No, you're smiling a little bit now.
Well, I was just thinking about how you never ask me these questions before we get on the air. So then I'm sitting here, I'm trying to think of a word to describe the Philly season.
I do that on purpose. You got to think on the fly here.
Well, then you're going to call me out for how I look when I'm thinking.
Well, that's true. What's a word that you would use?
What was the word that you used?
Predictable.
Yeah, I would say guaranteed, right? I would say that this is a guaranteed, because this is what they were sold to me as in the beginning of the season. This is what I kind of expected them to be.
Yeah, that's good. And I think that's exactly kind of the way I view it. And I want to know how other people feel out there. What's a word that you would use to describe the Phillies in the first half? 215-592-9494. To me, extremely predictable. I think guaranteed, kind of a similar thing, but it does seem like this was a situation where it was almost destined to be this way.
I want to change my word.
You're changing the word.
Yeah, okay. I would say upside, because I in the beginning upside. Of the season, last night I was thinking about how I didn't actually think the Phillies would be in first place of the NL East. I thought the Mets were going to be in first place. I thought the Mets were going to kind of get a further ahead lead than the Phillies at this point in the season. I didn't think it'd be back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So I would say upside. There's been a little more upside to this team than I thought there would be. But there still needs to be improvements to this team. And upside works in two ways, because there's still more upside to be found in the second half of the season.
Okay, well, I get what you're saying there. And if you want to get in, 215-592-9494, what's the word you would use? For Justin, it's upside. For me, it's predictable. And to me, that's the most frustrating part of this thing, is when you look at this team and you look at their flaws, I knew they were there. Like, and I think most people knew they were there. The Phillies should have known they were there, but they denied it. And that's the thing that I keep looking back at, and I find to be the most egregious thing. And today I'm getting ready for the show, and I'm thinking back to that press conference immediately after the Mets series, and some of the things that Dave Dombrowski had to say. And first off, here was Dave Dombrowski at that point talking about going into last offseason, how he could look at upgrading the roster this year.
Dave, when you look at upgrading the roster in some spots, what type of player do you think this team needs, or what type of skill set are you guys looking for in upgrades?
Well, that's a general question. That's a really tough one to answer, because you just have to wait and see when you talk to people. You're looking to make your club better. You're not looking to be in a position to just change faces. So I think you're in a position where it depends upon who's available and how we weigh that and how they fit into your club. So, I mean, the way I would answer that question, we want championship players. Now describe that. Well, there's a lot that goes into that, and I think that's how we approach it.
Now, that's a big word out there. I don't even know what Dave Dombrowski was getting at there. Yeah, of course you want championship players, Dave. Thanks for pointing that out. But here was Warren. This, I think, is the thing that frustrates me the most. Because you look at this team and you look at this offense particularly. The offense right now is bad. The offense over the last week was brutal to watch. Out west, aside from that one game against the Giants on Wednesday, they couldn't really do anything. And I feel like this was evident last year in the playoffs, but Dave Dombrowski denied it. Here was Dombrowski last year, right after that Mets series, being asked about the offense and their performance.
Yeah, the unfortunate part, you have a tendency to focus only on your own club, right? This is a downtime from an offensive perspective in professional baseball. What was the average? 243 at the end of the year? Most of our hitters were better than 243. You see the scores in the games. In most of the postseason, there's not a lot of run production taking place. So at times we are vulnerable to being pitched well, as are other clubs. But I can't say that, like going into the last 2 months of the season, that we thought, oh, that was going to be a major issue for us. But it's something we'll look at. We'll take a look at trying to address to see if we can make some changes. Sometimes, you know, we talk about, it's interesting, and I know a theme is chase rate, right? I mean, everybody I read in here writes about chase rate. I think it was interesting, we got eliminated. We were sixth in major of the 12 clubs in chase rate in the postseason. And so that's not good, but it's not the worst. We didn't hit. We really didn't hit. Some of it's chase, some of it's approach, some of it's guys not being hot. We actually, if you looked at it, we chased less than the Mets did in that series, percentage-wise.
And that's the thing, man. We knew it. We watched that series. I feel like everyone knew it. We saw the whole second half of the season. Like Dave Dombrowski and the Phillies, they chalked it up to one series when it was really the second half of the season. And I said it before, that we chased less than the Mets. I mean, why don't we hang the freaking banner? We chased less than the Mets in that series. Well, guess what the Mets did? They scored more runs than you did. They were able to score runs. You weren't able to score runs. And in the end, the Phillies, this past offseason, they decided to rearrange the deck chairs. They decided they were going to move guys around the lineup, and guess where we become? And this is another thing that goes to the predictable part of things, is I felt like the whole time they'll change up the order, they'll move different pieces around, but in the end, they're going to go back to what's comfortable. What happens yesterday? Kyle Schwarber's in the leadoff spot. I'd expect that to be the way it is going forward. I think Kyle Schwarber's going to be back leading off again. Very predictable outcome. You know, you changed a couple things in the bullpen. Jeff Hoffman out, Jordan Romano in. That's blown up in your face. Austin Hayes out, Max Kepler in. One guy who didn't produce for another guy who hasn't produced. Moves that were based in hope instead of actual facts. And it was just obvious that this was going to be the result. And I love this team. Like, I want this team to win, and it's why I get so frustrated, but I need to be honest. Like, if you ask me right now, do I feel better or worse about the Phillies winning the World Series, I feel worse, and I want to know how you feel on that as well. 215-592-9494. The offseason moves were a disaster. The offense is worse than expected. The young guys in the minors, who you thought you could rely on this year, Andrew Painter, Justin Crawford, apparently they're not ready since they're not here yet. And our hopes at this point, once again, basically hinge on Dave Dombrowski, whose track record since the 2022 World Series is not good, aside from the Trey Turner signing. And hey, maybe this is unfair. I attribute the Trey Turner signing to John Middleton. I mean, if John Middleton's going to cut Trey Turner a $300 million check, there's not a whole lot Dave Dombrowski needs to do in those negotiations. But aside from that, his track record has been awful. And now the only hope, as I see it, is for Dave Dombrowski to rescue this team, for Dave Dombrowski to save this team. Do I feel good about that? Absolutely not. And I want to know, in addition to your word, what word would you use to describe the Phillies in the first half? And also, do you feel better or worse about their chances to win the World Series? Because I'll tell you this, man. Even with the starting pitching being as great as it's been, even with the opportunity to make upgrades over the next couple weeks, I absolutely feel worse about their chances. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. We'll get to the phones in 1 second here, but I did have a next question for you, as they typically do on the afternoon show, because this week, was it Friday when Superman came out? You're my movie expert, Justin.
Yeah, Superman came out Friday. I saw it Thursday.
Did you already see how'd you see it Thursday?
There's advanced screenings every Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
I saw it twice on Thursday.
You have your little movie card, right? So you get
AMC A-list. Yeah, they should give me a sponsorship.
Okay, so you have premium access. So you're my movie expert. You recommended Sinners to me. Very good movie. I really enjoyed that.
I'm glad you watched it.
It took me like 4 days to watch it because I was watching it late at night, so I just kept falling asleep. Not that it was bad. I'm just washed up. So
yeah,
I finally was able to finish it. I thought it was a really good movie. But off of Superman, I want to know for next question, what's the best movie you've ever seen in the movie theater? That's our next question today. Best movie you've ever seen in the movie theater. I'll start with mine. And this movie that I've seen, and I think, you know, action movies, superhero movies, obviously they lend to being better in theaters. I think this is the best superhero movie of all time. I'm going with The Dark Knight. The Dark Knight, I saw that in theaters. I mean, Heath Ledger's Joker was incredible. I think that that movie's not just great in terms of superhero movies. I think any standard by which you judge movies, that's really good. Now, I don't know if you agree, Justin, you're much more of a movie snob than I am, but I think that was probably the best movie I've seen in theaters. What's yours?
Well, that's a great movie. I remember very vividly seeing the Dark Knight back in 2008 as a kid, which was awesome. And I'm actually rewatching all the DC movies right now. Dark Knight's number one by far, by country mile. The best movie, the best theatrical experience I've ever had by far is Dune Part 2 in 70mm. It's not the best movie, but it's the best theatrical experience I ever had. Have you ever seen a movie in 70mm?
No, what is that? I don't even know what that means.
You ever seen a movie in IMAX?
I think so.
So it's like the IMAX is like the huge screen, the better sound, everything like that.
Uh-huh.
70mm is like bigger screen, so it's ginormous. It's like double the size of a normal IMAX screen.
Does it cost more money?
It does cost more money. And there's only like 30 of them in the United States of the theaters that can actually show it like this. So you have to go to King of Prussia to go see this. And they show it in a different aspect ratio, so you see more of the frame. So Sinners was available in 70mm. Dune was available in 70mm, and you see more of the film, all of the frame that was shot. It's incredible. It's surreal, seriously.
Okay. So Dune 2 is the best one you've seen?
Yeah, Dune Part 2.
Okay.
In 70mm.
All right. I've never seen that. Probably won't. I watched like some of the first part of that movie, and I didn't really understand
the
what was
going
on. The
first movie was kind of slow.
Yeah.
I lost
interest like a half hour in. I never went back.
So that's a movie that like I watched the first one on HBO in like the middle of COVID. I didn't like it. And then I watched it again when they released it back in theaters right before Dune 2, and I just got it.
Okay.
And then Dune 2 saw it in theaters, and it was incredible. You see, some movies are just better in a theater than they are at home.
Absolutely. I mean, no question about it. And I want to know from you today, our next question, in addition to your sports point, what is the best movie you've ever seen in theaters? Or the best, I guess, I like the way Justin put it, theatrical experience. Give me that. That's our next question today. 215-592-9494. One word to describe the Phillies' first half of the season. Do you feel better or worse about this team winning the World Series? My word is predictable, and my answer in terms of better or worse is worse. And I don't know how you could feel better considering the way we've seen this offense perform. I mean, you have all the same holes you had at the end of last year. You have not improved your spots in the outfield. You not improved the bullpen. And it's a shame because you have one of the best starting pitching staffs we've ever seen. I think the best. I think this staff is better than the 2011 staff. But the rest of this team right now, I think, is extremely flawed. And if the remedy is Dave Dombrowski going out and fixing at the trade deadline, I can't say I'm too optimistic. 215-592-9494. Let's get it started on the phones with Dan in Southwest Philly. What's up, Dan?
TK, what's up, Tom?
Not bad, Dan. What's going on?
You can't really get on Justin's nerves too much. He's got to look at you for the whole show, so he can't smile
what is,
too much.
You know what, Dan? What is with everybody coming after my looks? I've been very troubled by this lately.
Bubbles is looking for you, too. Remember?
Who?
That wasn't, you don't remember the Bubbles thing. That wasn't you, right?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, Dan.
One more. Yeah, right. Bone Bubbles. It was a long joke. Anyway.
Okay.
Look,
whatever
we're
you say.
Here at 7:14. Yeah, whatever. My bad. When I was just trying to break up the monotony.
Break away, Dan.
First off, for anybody, they were talking Sixers. Every time I come on there, they want to bring up the Sixers. I'm not even getting into Sixers. I did want to talk to Al about the Flyers, but
well, Al's not Dan. I'm sorry, but Al is left for the day. His day's
done.
I know.
Oh, okay. I know. Listen, but I got you, Tom. You're all I got, bro. So listen. 7:14, right? I'm not even saying Bobrowski's perfect, but Jose Luzardo may have been the best move in the offseason nonchalantly, correct?
Right Jesus Luzardo was a good move, yeah.
Okay, now, listen, back to the serious problem at hand. Before we get into the top five, all that other stuff, the bullpen, they need two arms right now. Everybody's worried about the offense. The offense is what it is. Harper's been out 5 weeks. Shout out to Bryce. Shout out to Jalen Hurts. Everybody talks negative about this dude. All he does is win. We need two arms. Everybody, I don't care who they trade. Nobody remembers Kyle Drabek when we traded him to Toronto for Doc, right? That dude won 7 games. He was 7-15 in his career. All right? All them prospects in the minors, they're prospects for a reason. Seriously. If you're not going to put Abel in the bullpen and make that adjustment, they're talking about bringing their 21-year-old rookie, just right, whatever, from Arkansas, in the bullpen.
Yeah.
They need, seriously, and you know this, Tom, the bullpen is a name.
Well, they need bullpen arms and they need a bat as well. But, Dan, what's the best movie you ever saw in the theaters?
Lion King.
What? Lion King?
The Lion King, yes. Okay. 1994 came out.
There you go, Dan. Dan, appreciate the call, man. Thanks. Yeah, Lion King, that was a great time in terms of movies. Am I crazy? 1994, wasn't it like an epic movie year? You had Forrest Gump. You had Shawshank Redemption. You had Dumb and Dumber.
I'm surprised you got
great
three
movie.
Movies. Yeah,
yeah,
those are
man,
all great movies.
That's right in my wheelhouse right there. That was like, was Sandlot 94 too?
Probably in that
It was right in that range?
The 90s in general have like 1,000 better movies than any movie made in the 2000s period.
No question about it.
Like the 90s is the prime time for movie making.
So that's not even like an older guy generational thing.
No, it's right.
Even for you, is like you were born after 2000, right?
I was born in 2000.
In 2000. So you even look at the 90s as like golden era for movies.
I absolutely do, yeah.
Yeah. The 90s, there were a ton of great movies that came out. I'll never forget going with my parents to see Titanic, which that was an awesome experience. But my mom was trying to like shield my eyes when the nudity part came on.
Yeah, in the car.
That was awkward.
When they're fogging out the windows. I saw Titanic for like whatever anniversary when they put it back in 3D. That was sick.
You went to the movies to see Titanic in 3D like 30 years after? Well, not 30 years, I guess.
It was in like 2012, so it was the 100-year anniversary of the Titanic itself. So they put it back in 3D. It was like to get back. So you know how Titanic used to be the number one, the highest grossing film of all time?
Mm-hmm.
And then it lost it to probably like Avatar at that point. They went and re-released it in 3D to get more box office to get it back to being the number one film of all time.
Avatar sucked, by the way.
That is so wrong.
That movie stunk.
I was between Avatar 2 and Dune 2 as my best theatrical experiences.
That movie was terrible.
Did you see Avatar 2?
No. I have no interest in
it. Avatar 2 was so good.
The first one was so bad.
It might be James Cameron's best movie. Avatar 2 might be James Cameron's best movie.
All right. The first one was so bad. I have no interest to watch Avatar.
What didn't you like about it?
The plot line, from what I remember,
you should
was
rewatch
just
it.
Brutal. You I'm not rewatching.
It's really great. Seriously, right, well, it's really great. It looks incredible.
I was almost going to do the thing where I say, "Oh well, I'll go do it and not do it," but I can't even do that.
Yeah,
I'm just not going to do it.
Avatar 2 is like one of the best action movies, and if not one of the best movies of the 2020s.
All right,
it's incredible.
I'll take your word for it. Let's go to Bob in Westchester. What's up, Bob?
Well, my one word to explain the Phillies is inconsistent. Totally inconsistent. How the hell can you score 13 runs in one game and then 3 runs in the next 3 or 4 games? I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, yeah, Bob, and this is the thing. I mean, it's the same thing we saw with this team at the end of last year, and they just, you know, decided not to address it.
But why is causing that to happen, and it's not just on the Phillies, is launch angle. It's a term that had come out about, 4 years ago, launch angle. I've never heard it before. I've been a coach of baseball since 1969, and I have never, I don't even know what launch angle is supposed to mean, except all I can see is when they drop that right arm down, I was a batting coach for almost half that time. And when they drop that down and change to try to hit a freaking home run every time you left the bat, it does create problems.
And yet,
my question to you, Tommy, is this. I'm sorry to call you Tommy, but I'm an old man.
That's fine, Tom. Don't worry. Bob, don't worry about it. Call me whatever you want.
My question to you is quite simple. What in the hell are the batting and the pitching coaches do in these situations? Are they using video to help these guys understand what they're doing wrong? What are they using?
What are they doing to teach
the right way to hit a ball?
Bob, I don't think it's a coaching issue, though. I think it's a player's issue.
If a guy's not hitting the ball properly and he's striking out or he's popping up every other time he's up, or most of the time he's up, then it's a hitting, and the coach is not doing his job.
Well, Bob,
it's partly the coach.
It's a give and take. I mean, if you look at the chasing stuff and the strikeouts, those numbers are down this year. By the numbers, the Phillies have chased less, they've struck out less, but, I mean, that is coming at expense of their power, and I think we're seeing why, you know, some guys just can't really change. You got to take what you have. And I don't know. I don't look at this and think it's on Kevin Long or on Rob Thompson.
Well, the other problem that I quite honestly believe is, and I feel strongly about this, I want to know what person, and I know you say, well, we got billionaires owning the team. Well, I don't give a shit if they're billionaires.
Well, all right.
But what?
Calm down there, Bob. Jeez. I mean, relax a little bit. I mean, I get the frustration, but yeah, I mean, the players are who the players are. And this is the problem that I had with kind of this offseason and why I think this is all incredibly predictable is when you just move the same players around and the idea that, oh, well, we're going to change around the batting order and we're going to try Stott at the top, we're going to try Trey Turner at the top. This was never going to work. This was never a viable plan to get this team to the next level. And that's why I look at it this year, and I think it's all very predictable. And I don't know how anybody could be surprised with what we've seen. I get being frustrated. I just don't know how you could be surprised. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494. Your word to describe the Phillies the first half of the season. Also, do you feel better or worse about this team's chances to win the World Series? Your thoughts on that? And next question today, the best theatrical experience you've had, best time you've had, best movie you've seen in a movie theater. That is our next question today. 215-592-9494. Get to all the calls when we get back. I'm Tom Kelly in for the afternoon show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.